to John 10 this morning. Lord willing, we're going to finish the 10th chapter of John this morning. Okay? And if that's not good enough for you, next Sunday, there's a guy that's going to be raised from the dead. Okay? So, we got everything that you can want, like, or want to be. All right, let's read in verse 37 to the end of the chapter. Jesus said, I am not doing the works of my Father. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained. And many came to him and they said, John did no sign. But everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. In spite of all that Jesus has been teaching, in John 10 and in our way of organizing the scripture in chapters before that, in spite of all that he has been teaching, in spite of all that he's been doing, healing blind people, healing crippled people, people who had never walked, promising those that believed would have permanent eternal life, that you would never perish, that you could be secure in the hands of the Father and in His hands. All of those things that He was promising, that He and the Father are one. As we looked at last week, the Jews still picked up stones to stone Him. It just doesn't fit, does it? All the good that He was doing, that would be the response. They picked up stones again to stone him. They tried before and it didn't work. They tried to arrest him after this. That didn't work. You get the understanding that these guys hated Jesus. Now, I don't know if you figured this out or not, okay? I did, but I'm pretty slow. When somebody does something or says something, they usually say the things that sound good and don't give you the real reason. All right? Why don't you come over to the house for dinner? That's not an invitation. Over to the house for dinner today, okay? All right? And they say, oh, well, I'm supposed to do so-and-so. That's the reason it sounds good. The real reason is something else. Okay? So just file that away. People usually give us the reason that sounds good and not the real reason. I think that's what these guys did. They hated Jesus. They hated Jesus because he was challenging their system. They had a good thing going. They had power. They had prestige. The people oohed and aahed about these Jewish teachers, these Pharisees in this case probably. And he's compromising the system. He is challenging them where they live, and their whole system is going to come crashing down. And it does. This system that empowered them, that made them a big deal. And so they justified the stoning of him as they referenced the law. That's the reason it sounds good, I'm thinking, okay? We won't part fellowship over that. But there's something more than them just defending a system. They are defending the system, and it's more than just the law. And so they said, well, the law, okay? If you say, if anyone says that they're God, they're to be stoned. And that is in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, okay? Well, Jesus challenged them, and he references the works that he was doing. See, they're not buying into the thing that he is God, the Son of God. And he brings up the whole works thing. As we looked at here in verse 37, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe in me, believe the works. I mean, how do you deal with a blind man that can see? Or a crippled man that can walk? Or food out of a few baskets of food feed 5,000 plus the women and children and on. Water into wine. The miracles, the works, they're just flowing throughout this 3-year ministry. So Jesus references the works, and then he calls their hand on the law deal. He reminded them of the law. Now, not just the laws contained in the Torah, those first five books of the Old Testament, but the greater, if you will, law, including the book of Psalms, the Psalms, and especially chapter 82, where he says that those in the positions like they were in, God called them gods, little g. So, do you see this? He just crosses them up at every point that they're trying to have an excuse to stone him. He said, I call myself God, but God calls you gods. What are you going to do about that? It's decision time. It's decision time for these guys. Accept, proclaim, embrace, believe Jesus as the Christ that they've been looking for, or reject him. It's decision time. It's an absolute, either or. There's no middle ground here. God is absolute, hot or cold. No lukewarm. For me or against me. Believe, embrace, accept, or reject, either or. It's still decision time today. For every man, woman, boy, and girl, repent, believe, and abide, or reject. Same deal. Thousands of years have passed. Same deal. Some questions this morning before we delve into this. To you, on an individual basis, is Jesus who he said he is? Where are you on that one? Is Jesus who he said he is? Is he enough for you this morning? Is he enough for you this morning? How do you respond to his works and his words? That's what this section is about. These people, how they were responding to his words and to his works. How do you respond to the works he is doing today in your life and the words that have been preserved without error, without compromise for us in this inerrant Word of God? His words are there. Do you have rocks in your hands this morning? Ready to take out the one who is challenging your self-styled worldview or religious system? Just ask him. Do you have a religious system that you are backed up against? Okay? And you're going to defend it? Like these guys were defending theirs? They're going to stone. Are there rocks in your hands this morning? Ready to throw them when somebody challenges your religious system? Are you defending that system that has been created of your own doing? You've taken a little bit of this and a little bit of that and over here and you kind of customized your own religious system. Are you defending that this morning? Maybe this morning you have it so good. Maybe this morning you have it so good. The power, the prestige, the positions, the popularity, the possessions, that you resist this issue of lordship. Because that's where it is. Not saviorship. You won't find that. Lordship. And what we often do is, because of the status that we have, like these guys had, we defend. We defend that status, that power, that prestige, and all those kind of things, because lordship is going to challenge that. Because lordship says it's all on the altar. Is there anything you wouldn't give up this morning? Anything you wouldn't give up this morning if he asked you to? That's the test. Anything. Anything. All those possessions, all those positions and power, and all those people. Yeah. I don't know. You see, lordship means Lord of all, or Lord of nothing at all. So is Jesus enough this morning? We're going to look at two things here this morning in this case for his lordship, because that's what was at issue with these guys, okay? What they had to give up, Nicodemus did it, okay? But what they had to give up for him to be Lord. And what's it based on? Well, he brings out two things, I believe, in these verses that we have just read. Call it the foundation for lordship, if you will, okay? I struggle with some kind of entitlement of this, and I just didn't ever feel comfortable with anything. But what we're looking at here is the case for lordship. First of all, like Jesus said, consider the works. Consider the works that the Father is giving me to do. He didn't take ownership of them. He recognized them as from the Father. The works. The works are the evidence, the verification for lordship. That preposition is important there. The evidence, the verification for lordship. He said, even though you don't believe me, even though you don't believe my words, believe the works. Believe the works, revealing that the Father is in me and I'm him. I'm in him. The works. You're rejecting my words. But what are you going to do about the works? You reject the words, but what are you going to do about the word? Here's some things to consider for us today as those folks. If my words, what I'm teaching, if my words are compromised by your intellect, your system, the sophistication of critics today, and it is, the words of Jesus are compromised by the intellect of men and women, the systems that have been created, the sophistication of modern human beings. If those words of his are compromised, believe the works. Saying the same thing to us today. If my words are challenged by your experiences, I'm hearing that a lot today. People's experiences. Well, this didn't happen to me, or that happened to them, or a brother last week brought me some things that just drove home this so well. I don't know if you read that deal about the little boy that died and went to heaven, and the book was written, da-da-da-da-da-da. Seen that? Okay. He came out and he said, none of that was true. None of it was true. I think it was his dad. Is that right, Scott? His dad kind of wrote a book out of what he said or thought happened to him. Very popular deal. And the kid came out finally and said, none of that was true. None of that was true. And again, here in the last few days, weeks, whatever, another pastor, mega church kind of guy, okay, up north, crashed. And so people will take those things and say, yeah, those experiences, okay, whether they're theirs or someone else's. If Jesus' words are challenged by your experiences and the experiences of others, those with a pretense of salvation, believe the works. If my words, Jesus would say to us, are challenged by the failings of people, you know, those people that do mess up, those men and women who going strong and then crash with whatever it is. Believe the works. Even though my message, which is enough, is challenged by the culture and enlightened thinking of that day and this day, so that you would reject me, what about the works? That's what he's saying. That's where he is. Who is the author of the works that I'm doing? Jesus puts on the table. The Father. You see, now for these folks, the works were those tangible things. People being healed. Next week, somebody raised from the dead. Dead 4 days. And the people of that day, not the religious leaders, but the people even spoke up and said, you know, when they said Jesus was demon-possessed, can a demon open the eyes of a blind man? They're saying, I don't know what you're saying, guys, but there's something going on over here. Notice something this week. These critics, these Jewish leaders, these big deal guys had never opened the eyes of a blind man. But Jesus could and did, and they say he's false. That'll fly. What about today? What about you? What about me? What about the works? Okay? Now don't go there where you want to go right now too quickly. Okay? Question. Why are you not somewhere else numbing your mind and destroying your body with drugs and alcohol, sleeping around today, abusing your family, cursing like a sailor or a sailoress, if that's the feminine, vulgar, debaucherous in all of your behavior, planning to do all manner of evil, such that your thoughts are continuously evil, and all of this is certainly in style today, why aren't you there doing that today? Why did you get up this morning and get dressed and purposefully come to a place with a lot of new excuses this morning? Why did you get up, get ready, and drive to this place, this metal building in the back of this subdivision, and come in here and sit in chairs and stand and sing and pray? Why did you do that? Why aren't you out there just living it up, as we described earlier? Your want to's been changed. Your want to's been changed. Your want to, in fact, has died to those things. You have a new desire. No longer do you desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh or the works of the flesh. In fact, it is repulsive to you. Why is that the case? That's a work of Jesus. That's a work of Jesus. And let me go on. What about the millions, the multiplied millions around the world and through the ages whose lives have been changed as yours have been changed? Folks, it's a big deal for a blind man to see and a lame man to walk. But hundreds of millions of people whose lives have been changed as yours have been changed, that's a work. That's a work. Believe me for the work's sake. See what has happened in you. See what has happened in all of these others. Explain that. They couldn't explain how a blind man could see. We can't explain how a sinner can be saved to live a righteous life. Can we? Believe me for the works. Why did all of that change, that behavior? It's the works. And you're going to do something with the works. You're going to say that there's hundreds of millions of people and yourself individually didn't happen? Huh? I don't think so. Folks, I've staked my whole life on it. There was a time, and for you as well, when I was headed this way, and I don't want to get into the details of that, okay? And I turned and went this way. That work of Jesus Christ in my life and in yours. Believe the works. The word is true, we know that. But if you struggle with embracing the word, like he said to them, believe the works. You see, the works verify the word, and the word empowers the works. Both have to be present. But if you're struggling today, consider the works that he has performed. And I'm not talking about those wonderful things that can happen, may happen, have happened, where people have been healed today. That has happened, and on and on. I'm not talking about those. Okay. I'm talking about that work of redemption. That taking an old person and making them a new person. That being born again, as he said to Nicodemus. That's the work. You can't explain that. You can't explain that. All right. The works verify the word. The word empowers the works. Both do have to be present. Let's take a look at the word. Did you notice that change that happened at verse 39? Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He just slipped out, I guess. And verse 40, there's a change. He changes locations. Okay? He was in there around the temple, probably on the side out of the wind as we looked at a few weeks ago because it's wintertime. Verse 40 says, he went away across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. Interesting, I thought. Why would you go there? Jesus, why would you go there? Jesus is under a lot of duress here. He's all man. Don't forget that. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was subject to depression. He was subject to doubt, being tempted with those things. Remember in the garden? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't want to go to the cross because the cross was the place where he would suffer even more physically, where he would be rejected, suffer emotionally of the people that he was trying to give his life for. And the fellowship with the Father would be broken as he became sin. He didn't want to go to the cross. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus is at a time when he's pouring his heart, he's pouring his life out for these people, and they're rejecting him, trying to kill him. I believe that Jesus returned to the Word. That's the reason he went to the wilderness. The works verify the Word. The Word empowers the works. And in the midst of this great peril, Jesus returned where? A lot of places he could have gone. But he went back to the foundation place. The wilderness where John had been baptizing at first. What did John say when Jesus was coming to him? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Word. And what did God say as his son was lowered into that water by John the Baptist, and when he came up? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what did God the Holy Spirit say out there? The Spirit came and rested on him. We have a meeting of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in this foundation place. I believe that Jesus needed to go there and be refreshed in the Word that was spoken of him and to him. That's why he went to this place. I believe that he was doing the works. The people weren't accepting the Word. He needed to go to the Word, the foundation. How about you? Where do you go when the stress, the peril, the heavy time? Where do you go? Folks, there's only one place to go. To the Word. To be reminded that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus if you've believed. To be reminded that nothing happens in your life unless He plans it or permits it. To be reminded that He is conforming you to the image of His Son. To be reminded that He loves you with an unsearchable love, such that He would give His life for you. To be reminded, though, whatever may happen here, you have an eternity secure in His heaven. To be reminded that He's coming back for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you into myself. And to be reminded that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And to be reminded that nobody, nothing, no circumstance, experience can separate you from the love of God. Folks, we need to do what Jesus did here. We need to go back to the Word. We know there's a work that happened in us, but we need to be reminded. John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of woman, I quote Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. The greatest man ever born of woman? That's everybody. And John was in prison, you remember? And he said to his disciples, he had those that followed him, he said, come here, guys. Go find Jesus and ask him if he's the one or if we should look for somebody else. John the Baptist, greatest man ever born of woman. The man who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. We're talking about a heavy hitter. He doubted. He wasn't sure. He said, go find Jesus and ask him, are you the one or should we look for someone else? Jesus gave John the hope that John was looking for. See, John's going to lose his head, literally. And he said, you go back and tell John, the dead are raised, the lame are healed. What he's saying, I'm the one. The works, I'm the one. And so John, that word that he heard out here with Jesus when he baptized him, I believe he knew it too. You got to have both. You see, there are those today who just chase the works. Just the touchy-feely. Woo-hoo. Wow, you know, that kind of deal. Yeah, just the works, okay? Just experiences. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you don't have the word to go with the works, it doesn't last you very long. Because the next time you want or need one of those works and it doesn't happen, if you're not grounded in the work, in the words, I'm sorry, it's hard to do this, okay? If you're not grounded in the word, then that work, lack of it, causes you to doubt. So you're only as good as your last experience. You got to have both. So Jesus returned to the foundation place to renew, refresh, be reminded by the word that he had remembered and knew that was at that place. Now some of you may think, are you sure? I tell you what, when I got into this, I got so excited about it. I couldn't wait to get here, okay? It could have rained, snowed 20 inches, and I'd have waited it just to get here I thought, wow. Because why did he go across the Jordan? I mean, why didn't he go back up north to Galilee? Huh? Why didn't he? There's a lot of places to go. Why this place? That's where the word first came to him and on him. The launching of his ministry. And God the Father spoke. And God the Holy Spirit spoke with his presence coming to light on him. And Jesus was there. You have one of those places? When that your life starts crumbling, crashing. And don't look at me and say, well, that's never happened. Well, it's tomorrow then, okay? Do you have one of those places? Do you have a wilderness to go to? Like this? Back to that place where you first believe. Now Jesus was God, okay? He's all man, he's all God. It gets a little bit difficult, but that place where God spoke, this is my beloved Son, and the anointing of the Spirit fell. Do you have that place that you can go back to and you can nail things down even though they're flapping around in your life, and you can nail them down? I know I was changed. I know what the Word says. I pray that you do. Many came to him out there. And did you notice what they said? John did no signs, no works. John the Baptist didn't raise anybody from the dead that we have recorded. John didn't heal anybody. All John did was preach repentance out there in the wilderness. And they said, John did no sign, no works, but everything he said about this man is true. You see, the religious leaders aren't out here. These are just the people. And they're free now from the shackles of that religious system that would bind up people. And they're free now. And they can tell it the way it is. And they said, this man is true because everything John said about him is true. I believe out there the works and the words came together. I pray they have in your life. I pray the word and the works have come together. Remember the works. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a work of God. And I'll tell you something. I want that work so much more than a crooked nose that's made straight. Or this or that that gets healed. Or a bunch of money in my bank account. Just miraculous. Okay. Okay. I want the work that made me a new creature in Christ Jesus over all of that. Because I'm going to blow the money. I'll get another crook in my nose. But you can't take away that new creature in Christ Jesus status. Did you see what happened there in verse 42? And many believed in him there. Ooh. And this isn't that belief that had been going on, around down around the temple, okay, where they believed in him so that he would deliver them from the Romans, etc. This belief is the same belief that you experienced when you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, when all things became new. And many believed in him there. And they still will. When you present the works and the words of Jesus to those who are yet to believe, many still believe. They've been doing so for thousands of years now. You see, the works verify the word, and the word empowers the works. And on a snowy day in March, I guess, I don't know what else to say. Let's pray. Lord, I can't speak for brothers and sisters in this room. But what you spoke to my heart, I still can't get over it. Can't get over the work that you have done in my life and scores of people in this room, millions of people through the ages and around the world. And then, Father, to be refreshed, as Jesus, I believe, was there in the wilderness, when I open the pages of the word that you have given us about your relationship with us once we have become new creatures in Christ Jesus, once we have believed, repented, abide. I thank you, Father, for your work of salvation. I thank you for your word revealed by the Holy Spirit to us who have believed, that gives us the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. If anyone is here this morning, Lord, who is yet to believe and experience that great work called salvation, if anyone is here this morning, Father, who has believed, but like Jesus, they're weary as they slog through this life and the crises and the pressures and the disappointments and the failures. They have believed, Father, take them back to a place similar to where Jesus went, where they can be reminded that you're still on your throne, that you still care with an unsearchable, undefinable care and love, that they are still a priority in your days, if we can think of it that way, that nothing caught you by surprise, that your plan is being worked out to conform them to the image of your Son, Jesus. Remind them, Father, of that from your word, I pray. Father, we rejoice today that this is what you said, and we know it's truth. In Jesus' name.